Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And if you hear my computer during this recording beep in ways it sounds like it's Morse code, that is a dog whistle to your dog, because I don't know if you saw the New York Post. We were recording this on no other day than 9/11, and the New York Post stated that a jogger was maliciously attacked by a gang of otters. And we all know that on September 11th, that is when the ducks began to migrate south for the winter. We are now at this time asking the dogs to rally the ducks to stand their ground for the joggers in New York. I have Fire Camino. What are you making of all this?
Look, man, all I know... Actually, I don't know shit. I have no idea how to make sense of what you just said.
All right, we're off.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What about the otters? I don't know otters attack people.
Oh, yes, they most certainly will. A duck hunter shared with me a story that one time while out on a duck hunt, there was a group of about two or three otters who were messing with the duck decoys.
Ah!
And they sent the dog out there, and when the otters got when the dog got the attention of the otter, they decided to swim toward the dog, and so the hunters shot the otters. And the otters went on to kick the dog's ass.
Oh, shit.
And so what I'm telling everyone is that an otter will go to war over a duck.
See, but that's the thing. Otters and koalas both have that same thing where they look really cute. You know what I mean? So you go, oh, it's adorable. But they're actually like, you know.
Josh, I don't know. This episode is also anti-big zoo aquarium. You go to these aquariums such as the Ripley's Believe It or Not in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or maybe you went to the Atlanta Aquarium. Both are great. I love it. I go every time I'm in the area. I just like to look at these little fuckers. And let me tell you something. They're screwing with you. They are not cuddly. They are not what you think they are. They're malicious.
See, now I wonder who's the otter's, like, PR team. Like, who... Like, where's all this cute otter propaganda coming from? And to what end? What benefit?
Well, Josh, to what end? We can begin to fill in all the dots of the race and gender of this jogger in New York was a young Asian woman. So at a glance, you would think that the ducks were rising up against the restaurants of the Asian kind for stereotypical reasons, but the otter got involved, and so that doesn't make sense. So what I think what it boils down to is this is probably some Chinese propaganda.
So are the otters Chinese? I'm starting to feel like these animal slangs may be terms for other slang, and I'm now on the wrong podcast. This is what's going to get me canceled.
Oh man, I'm just fooling around here, but we did see at the Chinese zoo three pandas playing what appeared to be cards, and they were sitting in chairs. So maybe pandas were never real. All right, y'all ready for a real podcast?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, man, we're having fun here, man. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
I had to lighten the load. If you're listening to this on this wonderful Friday, you survived the presidential debates, the remembrance of 9/11, and now... It's September 12th. Everything is back to business as usual. So we hope. Josh, man, how are things with you?
Man, I've been making it, working like crazy, but that's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. I'm sober. This is a surprisingly fucking... for once, you're getting a Fire Camino episode where I'm not boozing it up.
There you go. We're happy to hear this. Before the show started,
I said, are we?
I don't know. Before the show, we made sure that Josh drank 2 64-ounce bottles of water so that he would still take the piss break.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. The potential for me to still piss myself in my pickup is very high. It's just not going to be an alcohol-fueled piss.
Well, man, in all seriousness, what led you to want to do a Sober October a month early?
Well, you know me. I'm a trendsetter.
That's one thing I always said about you, Josh.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just using distortion pedals with acoustic guitars, you know, just trying out new things that have never been done. I was just not in a good spot. And, the last couple, like, I drink every day. And, like, the past couple times I got real drunk, like, I really didn't enjoy it, you know. And it stopped being fun. Like, it stopped giving me the relief and everything that I needed. And so now it's just, I don't know. It's an experiment. I am trying this sober thing out. I'm not going to turn into one of those, like, douchebags that are like, ooh, look at me. I'm all, look at my little AA medallion for my 1 month. And you know what you should do? You should make changes in your life, too. I'm not going to turn into that. So no worries.
Yeah, man, that whole spill of it, it comes off as holier than thou, and it feels a whole lot about someone who they lived years, decades, one way, and let's just say that they found religion, they found God, they got saved, they were washed in the blood, and like, and I get it, they're very excited about the change, they're brand new. It's something to be very proud of, whether it's sobriety or you know, whatever does that for you. I'm not disparaging that. I am kind of disparaging the it becoming your personality.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing is, like, it's terrible, but, like, a lot of people use substances to, like, make up for shortcomings within their life. And then when those substances are gone, they still need something to make up for the shortcomings in their life. So then they have this sobriety thing and they go, oh, cool, that works for that too. And then that just becomes their personality or their trait or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, instead of working on themselves or developing a personality, then they take the easy route.
Yeah, and I wonder, man, because had you been doing every aspect of your life under the influence to where is it a fresh start? Like, this is, it's a brand new day every day now. Maybe it is. I don't know. Like I say, I don't want to disparage anybody for doing that, but once again, man, I just find the whole thing, like, annoying.
Well, see, like, it's tricky, because, like, my thing is, it's like, all right, so they call it self-medicating, right? When you,
yes,
you drink or use substances. And it's like, well, now I'm just not medicated. I still have all the problems and bullshit in my head. It's just I don't have the thing to help me deal with it. So that's where the fun comes in, of where, like, now I'm, like, trying to just work shit out on my own without, like, a thing there to help. So that's been fun.
You know, some of the big mistakes that I had made probably over the course of 2024. My dad passed in January, and I did hit the bottle a little heavier than what I usually would, and I began making a lot of mistakes. And the DUI, the DUI was something that was a great eye-opener. And, you know, now, like, you know, I was sharing with you, I had gone out to see a show of a friend, and he noticed I was drinking water instead of a beer at a bar, and he brought it up. He said, "So you're drinking water, what's up?" And I was like, "Well, I can't have a beer, else I can't drive. I have a breathalyzer device in my truck. And as much as I love parking lots, after this show is over, I would like to go home."
Right.
And, man, it was one thing that turned into another that just kept turning into shit. And, like, I am just trying to be responsible. And am I going to do, like, what you're doing now? And I respect the hell out of it. Weeks at a time to where I don't drink. Yes. There should be that exercise. That's the point of, like, a sober October. It's a wake-up call. Like, if you can't do it, you might have a problem.
Right.
So, man, but, like, I think when it comes to that usage and, like, whatever drug it may be, like, and I'm not recommending drug use, or I'm not saying that it's okay, but, like, moderation. Like, just don't go off the damn rails.
Right. And realize how much, like, time you're spending just doing things. Because that was another thing, is I realized, like, how much time I was spending, like, just drinking. And not, like, drinking and doing a thing. Because used to, I would drink and, like, play guitar. Or I would drink and, like, socialize or whatever. But, like, there was stretches of where it's like, I'm just drinking, you know, and it's like, ah, it's taking up too much of my time, you know, and like, I want to be more productive.
Yeah. And man, like today, I called you earlier and you told me that you had just finished hiking. So I noticed, man, a lot of times when, and I'm proud to say that I don't do it as much as I was. I still like to have a beer after work. I don't do it every day now. You know, I'm making strides.
Right.
And, you know, that was, in a way, my escape. That would be, you know, like taking a hike is definitely one way to kind of get the creative juices flowing. It's also a great way to, whatever happened to you that day, the bull crap. It's a healthier way. You're exercising, you're out in nature, you're moving your body, your thoughts have a big place to bounce around in. Like, I think, like, drinking is kind of the opposite of that. Like, your thoughts are a little bit more compressed, but you can still be creative in a sense. But, like, instead of being out in a park or out in the woods, you're just within your own mind.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of those things of where, like when I think about why I drink, like, so much of my mind, I don't know if I have fucking ADHD or what, but so much of my mind is like, bam, 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 just constant fucking going. And so, like, with drinking, like, it slows all that down to where I can actually look at what I'm thinking and, like, process thoughts and go, like, okay, so it kind of, in some ways, helps me with creativity because I can go, oh, okay, here's a thing, and I can, like, sit and actually put it together and make it make sense versus my head just racing. On the flip side of that, with, like, hiking and stuff like that, as if it wears me out physically, it kind of slows the brain down, too, because I'm more tired, you know. I just need something to get all that energy off.
Yeah, working at the old factory ain't enough for Josh.
No, it ain't. Like, even though that wears me out, but it's different. Like, I mean, it still physically wears me out, but
I totally understand it, man. it's a different kind. Like, there is a, I don't know. I'm 33 and it hasn't stopped yet, and I can't speak for everybody in every profession, but there is something about that that moment when you finally hit that clock out punch. Like you got a little life about you. Like it may only be good for 30 minutes or maybe an hour, but you have you got the juices to do something.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I'm back, you know. That's what I hate is, like, I live so far out because you have that, like, oh, yeah, I'm out, but then I got to go sit an hour in traffic getting home. So I have this hour of just, you know, where it's like, damn, I wish I lived close to my work because then I would still have that, like, excess energy, you know.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, man, what else has been good?
Been working on a set for the 21st. If y'all don't know, September 21st, I'll be playing at LCY Media. It will be a benefit show for One Roof Birmingham. And we are super excited to be putting it on and helping the homeless here in Birmingham. And I've been working on a set for that. That's been fun.
Very cool. You tailoring your songs, covers, like what all is that entailing?
It should be mostly originals. Like I'll throw in like a Jerry Jeff Walker or a John Prine song or, you know, but for the most bit, like it'll be all originals.
Oh,
hopefully some new ones too. I've been trying to work on that record. I feel like I've been saying I've been working on this record 4 years, but like truthfully I have, like it's just slow as shit, right?
Yeah. And 4 years, oh, you're putting out something you're gonna be damn proud of,
hopefully. Like, you know, because Going Home came out in 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, it's been that long since I've put anything out. And, like, Well, that's a lie. I put out another snip for Mr. Snubnose, but that just was fun songs that I didn't think were good enough for a record. But yeah, hopefully it'll be some really good shit, but I don't know. Do you ever have this of where, like, when you write something, you can't tell if it's good?
Yeah, every time. You know, it's... Man, songs have kind of hit me in, like, different ways. I'll share with you, like, some of the different ways it's happened. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't have a platinum, gold, silver song on your streamer. This is a guy who gets about 100 plays a week. Yeah, I appreciate those. So, like, this is just my experience. I'm not here to say that this is the end-all, be-all. But you have those lightning-in-the-bottle moments to where you get just struck with a melody, you pick up the guitar, you somehow find what you were looking for perfectly, and you can't write the words down fast enough.
Right.
Those songs typically always do well. And, like, I don't really have the embarrassment I carry with the other versions. Like, the songs that it took me a little while to write. They become a little bit more personal because I've invested so much more time in them. And it's a little bit harder for me to take it out of the bedroom to the stage to try it out and see what an audience thinks about it. And... oftentimes, man, it's a lot harder for me to share those. Like, they have become a little bit more because I've spent so much time with them.
Yeah.
And not to say that they're better or worse than that lightning in a bottle moment, but I do have more time invested in it.
Right.
And it's to a point to where, like, I want to make sure every word is explaining or describing what I'm trying to get out to the best of my ability.
See, that's the problem I have is, like, I have certain songs that are a lot more, like, laid back, kind of, like, sad, somber songs. And, like, I worry about, like, you know, when people come to a Fire Camino show, they have a kind of certain expectation. And, like, I'm kind of worried about, like, if people came and it's like, God, he's just playing all this sad shit. What the fuck was that? What happened to the guy that would pour beer on himself and scream and yell and smash it, you know? So that's what makes me, like, it's hard to take those songs out of the bedroom because they're so emotional. And they actually, like, you know, everything... like, if you write something, it's coming from the heart. So to have somebody shit on it, it hurts. You know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. But, like, yeah, it's just, you know, I often wonder about that. Like, if I could do more laid-back shows and more, you know, heartfelt songs and how it would be received.
Well, I mean, I think you just said something pretty big, man, pretty bold. When Taylor and Matt were on earlier this week, Taylor kind of alluded to that when we were talking about writing a book and just being creative. You know, a lot of the people who write those emotional or dark, heavier songs typically are the happy-go-lucky type. And then those who write the happy... let's hang out, have a beer, and, you know, all this and that. The happier songs, those people really aren't that approachable when it comes to real life a lot of times, oftentimes.
Right.
So, man, like, maybe you do owe that to yourself to put that out there and to, you know, to field it and to see what happens, because you might be stepping a little bit closer to home. You might be, like, peeling a layer back on that onion and getting, you know, not to say anything about your previous work, but you might be really be getting after the good. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing too. It's like I can only run so long with like a gimmick. You know, I don't feel like what I do is a gimmick, but there is like a big bit of like, you know, just showmanship and whatever that goes into it. And it's like I'd rather people focus on my songwriting versus like the shit I can do, or like, oh, can you, you know, I don't want to be the folk version of Kiss. You know,
well, dude, just think
about a songwriter like everybody else.
Think about the honor that would come with that. You could be the folk version of Kiss, then there would be a folk little person of you.
That's true. If there could be a midget fire Camino, that'd be great.
Yes,
that may actually sell tickets. That might be.
I gotta tell you, it's rare that it does, but it did happen this week. Midget Kiss popped up on my algorithm, and it put a real big smile on my face.
How do we book them for Porch Fest?
These are questions that I've been asking myself. I've had a lot of ideas that I'm not going to run by anybody, and if I get to the right person and they respond and say yes, there will be something to that effect there. I'm not above this or below it. I feel really good about it.
Yeah, no, that'd be fucking great.
This is world-class entertainment. They do a good job. Have you seen them?
Yeah, no, I have seen. Funny enough, there's Instagram ads for fucking Mini Kiss.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's the best. It'll make you happy.
Yeah, that's fun. See, but that's the thing, too, is where, like, I look at it, like, when you go to a show, like, you want to be entertained, and you want to, like, as much dreary fucking awful shit that's in the world, like today, I don't know when the fucking debates happened, but all my coworkers just want to talk about the debates. I'm like, I didn't watch that shit.
It happened last night while you were in the bed, Josh.
Because I went to sleep at like 6:30.
Yeah, I think it came on at 7. You were dreaming at 7.
I'm like Joe Biden. I'm too old. I couldn't make it to the debate.
Oh, God, love him, dude. Yeah. He's something else. Anyway.
I just wanted to eat my ice cream and go to bed.
Aye.
But no, fucking, yeah, it's one of those things, like, there's so much bullshit in this world. Like I would rather have just a night, like, when you go to a concert and it's just like, yeah, it's fun and enjoyable, and you don't think about the outside world. You just go, yeah, fucking rock and roll, Mini Kiss, fireworks, shit's cool, you know, and you go, hey, life ain't that fucking bad because we get to sit here and listen to Strutter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to watch a drunk Irish guy fucking smash a guitar through an amp, you know?
That's, yeah. Yeah, and I would love to be able to facilitate something like that for people. Be like, you know, that was pretty sick.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do here. We're having a good time.
Inspire joy.
In spite of ourselves.
Yes.
But we have found the things that make us happy. And although it's only for just a little fragment of time, it was worth it.
Right.
Because it's going to come back around like Christmas.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's this magical moment that happens once a year. And anything can happen. And if you believe hard enough, you may get that, you know, that, God damn it, what are the name of the fucking wagons? The red wagons that people would get. Way back in like the day.
The red wag. The little red Robin. No. Little Red Daisy. Oh gosh,
is
I'm all over
Red Rider?
Little Red Rider, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all waiting up and asking for one of them, and it could come. It could come.
Yeah, anything's possible.
That's what I like to tell myself. I try to, man. What else? Like, just since you learned today that going out for a little hike is good for you. Anything else you've learned over the past couple of days since you've done this? You feeling a whole lot better?
Yeah, I am. Mentally, no. Mentally, I'm fucked. But physically, I do. I feel really good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I went to Sunday. Oh, I joined a band. Did I talk about this on the pod?
Please. I know Josh is in a band now. Please tell.
Yeah, I'm now in a band called Full Intent, which is this rap rock group I play bass in.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. What, you're in a rap rock band?
Oh, no, I was talking about playing bass.
Oh, yes.
And doing what and playing bass for what I do is a lot of leeway. Anyway, go ahead.
Would always go to the open mic at the Nick, and me and Justin, who's the singer, we talked about jamming together forever, and then their drummer and their bass player just dropped out, so they're like, all right, we need a drummer, we need a bass player. And so I went and jammed with them, and they were like, will you join the band? I was like, I don't know, and then they were like, well, just come back next Sunday. So I came back, and then they would let me write some shit and stuff, and then it just clicked, and with the drummer and everything, I was like, oh no, this sounds fucking great. And even though we're a rap rock group, we sound a lot like Jane's Addiction, so I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. I'm happy to be part of this band.
That's pretty good timing. Linkin Park is back, and now we have...
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Full Intent at their heels.
Right. Hey, this rap rock thing's coming back, man.
I believe it.
Man, speaking of rap rock, you know who is the shit?
Are we going to say Fred Durst?
Do you remember Nonpoint?
You're going to find this crazy. So, I'm letting YouTube music roll.
Right.
And it's gotten off into some territory that I ain't conducting. Would you believe that came up this week?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What song or album?
Don't get me lying on that, dude, but let me see. hang on, just a second. Anyway, go on with your...
Sorry?
Go on, and I'll find it.
All right. While he's looking for that, if none of y'all have heard of On Point, they have a live record from 2004 called Alive and Kicking that kicks so much ass. That record's so good. So if you have not listened to On Point, check out that record.
Yeah. What year did you say?
2004?
Yeah. So, you know, they got a brand new single out.
Really?
It's called Underdog. That's what came up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, they were playing... I forget if they were playing at Zydeco or where they were playing. They were playing somewhere on... when I went to go see the Mountain Goats, they were playing somewhere in town. I'm like, fuck, I'm missing Non Point.
I don't know what's up with the Mountain Goats lately, but they're getting a lot of free publicity out of us lately.
Yeah, we've really, really talked them up. See, we got to start talking more about Non Point, less about the Mountain Goats.
All right, everybody, Non Point, go listen to their new single, Underdog. Back to Linkin Park. Just for a second, what are you thinking about that? How are you feeling? Have you listened to it?
I have not listened to it. Ah, damn it. Still pissed myself.
Oh, you're taking a piss. All right, so some things never change.
Nope. Turns out it wasn't the booze that was making me do it. It's just my inability to fucking aim into a water bottle.
This is a great time to reach out to a future sponsor.
Yeah, how do we get a Jerry can sponsor?
It's what we need.
But no, I haven't listened to the new Linkin Park, but like I know a lot of people are upset about like her joining and bringing back up, but it's like, dude, look, everyone else in that band still has to eat. You know, like, just because one dude died doesn't mean you can't keep going. Alice in Chains did it. Sublime did it. Fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd did it. And half the fucking band died there. And nobody cared. So, like...
I think people cared. But people...
No, people cared about the people dying, but nobody cared. Like, nobody was upset that Lynyrd Skynyrd carried on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, to that effect, people cared. They were, you know, there are purists out there. It's not the same. Well... It's not like they were... I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, like, you know. Like, yeah, you're never going to have someone like Ronnie Van Zant or Chester Bennington or fucking Lane Stacy again. But, like, you know, like, you can still have a really good band and, like, it still have the same kind of feel and the same thing, whatever. You know, like, I mean, look at the Chili Peppers. Look at how many fucking lineups that they've gone through. I mean, granted, it's always been Anthony and Fleet. But, like, you know, they've morphed and changed sounds so many times over the years, but it's still the fucking Chili Peppers.
Well, I mean, that was Frusciante leaving and coming back.
Well, even before him with Hillel and who was the other? Jack... there's another guitar player they had before Frusciante, and then Frusciante left, and then they got Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Then Frusciante came back. Then they had Josh Klinghoffer, which did a fucking great job.
And you're right about that, because the sound was ever-changing, because there's only one guitar player in that song.
Yeah.
And every time you had, whether you had Frusciante or not, you had a... As far as, that might be the best example, Josh. I think so many people like put, and I do too, with Stone Temple Pilots or maybe a Linkin Park. It would go to like Incubus, you know, if, you know, although you would still have Mike Enzinger and all the other members of Incubus, if Brennan Boyd was a step away, like, that's tough, you know?
Right.
And I agree with you. It's like, well, everybody else has to eat, and most of the band is still there. Totally. And I think Chili Peppers is probably the best example of that. Because Kiedis, the front man, like, he was always there. I think losing a front man is the hardest person to lose.
Yes. Like, because that's the thing is so many people associate, like, the front man with the face of the band. But you can lose a front man and, like, continue on or arguably get better. Look at Sabbath. When Ozzy left Sabbath, everyone was like, well, Sabbath's dead. It's done. How can you replace Ozzy? And guess what? They got fucking Dio, and it kicked ass.
Good point. Good point.
So, or Iron Maiden, the original singer of Iron Maiden, wasn't even Bruce Dickinson. It was another guy, and then he got replaced, and then Iron Maiden blew up. They got way better after they got Bruce.
Whew.
Or, best example, fucking AC/DC. Bon Scott fucking died. That should have been the end of that band. And they got the other guy, and the very next record they put out was fucking Back in Black.
How about them apples?
Yeah, so you can do it.
You are cooking right now.
Like, so that's the thing of, like, them replacing Chester and Linkin Park. Like, give it a chance. It may work, it may not. But, I mean, like, fuck. It's still the band.
Yeah, you still... I mean... With the rapper guy, I can't think of his name. He had Fort Minor, and they had that one song. You know, it was 90% of everything and 1% of skill. And then he dropped the side project, and he came back. You know, hell, Chester Bennington. Oh, who he fronted? Didn't he front STP after Weidman passed for a little while?
I think he did.
And I don't remember a whole lot of uproar about that. You know, I think, like, people's picking it. I think it's surprising. Like, you know, like, you, I guess it just depends on who the person was. And, well, I don't know, because you go back on those old examples. I wasn't there. I don't know how my dad felt about, you know, Back in Black with a new front man or... Ozzy leaving Sabbath. You know, I'm just relating with bands that I grew up listening to. It's different, but like you said, I'm open to it.
Hey, here's one you were for. Now, and this is a double-edged thing. So, like, my whole thing is, like, why you gotta keep calling it Linkin Park? Or, like, you know...
It could,
like,
be Linkin... It could be Linkin Park marketing. With... Yeah.
Yeah, I get marketing, that's why you do it, but, like, just name it something different. Like, here's a great example that you lived through, is Zach De La Rocha left Rage Against the Machine. And at the same time, Soundgarden had broke up. So it just happened so perfectly that Chris Cornell joined Rage Against the Machine, but they didn't want to keep calling it Rage Against the Machine. So
Audio
they renamed
Slave.
It and called it Audio Slave, and it kicked fucking ass.
Yes, it did.
Well, the first record kicked ass. The other two they put out were not good, but
yeah,
that
we
first Audio Slave record. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, we all remember that. We all like it. Man, yeah, good points, man. You were the right guy for that question. You had you were bringing it, man. Good job.
Thank you. Hey, I know my music. I listen to a shit ton. So.
Yeah, I get caught up talking to, you know, like Big John or Cobb Webb, and you know, everybody's got their own point of view, and I forget, you know, like I ain't heard your take on it yet. Glad I brought it up.
Oh yeah.
Dude, what else is going on in music? I'll tell you something strange to me, and I wasn't aware of the person. It just landed on my YouTube algorithm. I wasn't familiar with her at all. This is just gossip, but, it's kind of confirming something that I've always thought is, you ever heard of Ice Spice?
Yes, I have.
So, there was this YouTube video, I guess I've been, hate watching because I've been having a lot of hate watch videos, in my algorithm there. And one came up about Ice Spice, and it was talking, the name of the video is like, she lost 80% of her followers across social media platforms, and she's a plant. And I was like, well, this is piquing my interest, and it kind of confirms some things that I thought about the music industry. And I was watching it, and it's kind of wild how that happens to some people. I think it probably will roll to, like, the Hawk to a Girl, or, you know, other people who pop up who are social influences that have, you know, millions of followers overnight, and they are able to push some kind of an agenda across, and when the means hits the end, they pull the plug, and then everything that you thought you had, it was like, oh, it was all imaginary this whole time.
Well, that's the thing with pop music, and it's been the thing with pop music since the 50s. It's like milk. It doesn't have to be new. It just always has to be fresh.
Hey, good way to put it, dude.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, people will come in and out, and people go, oh, well, they were an industry plant, whatever. It's like, it don't matter. They come in, they sell their couple million records, and they're out. Now, you have some people that are just pop powerhouses that bam, 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 they just can just nail it, you know, like a Taylor Swift or an Elton John or whatever, but those people are very seldom around, you know. I don't think I could name a single pop star besides, like, the real big, like, if I had to name, like, a B-list pop star from, like, the early 2000s or 2010, I don't think I could do it.
I don't think I could either. And also, man, like, I guess when I hit that, whatever that age number is, I guess it's probably different for everybody, like puberty, but, you know, like, whenever you start coming into that age to where you start thinking for yourself and you start paying attention to what you want to pay attention to, my brother was, 2 years above me when it came to, like, grade levels in school, and I was predominantly hanging out with, his friends and just older people in general. And so, like, when they started listening to the grunge and whatever music they were listening to, whatever books they were reading, whatever shows they were watching, like, I was doing that, and I wasn't really concerned about what people my age or younger was doing. And, like, I was really, you know, fixated on that because I'm younger, and I was trying to fit in. And, like, so there were just pockets of things that I cared about. Like, I find it crazy, like, the people who buy the tabloids, or, you know, they're into, like, the paparazzi and all these, like, stories, like the Inquirer or, you know, the Global or whatever, like, to read that garbage and, like, to, I don't see the entertainment value of it, and I don't see why you would care either.
Yeah, I don't get where people get wrapped up in, well, it's kind of like how I feel about politics too, where, like it doesn't affect you, like, it don't matter, like, it's just something to complain about or to fixate on. And instead of, like it's like people that only watch, like, consume media, like people that never create anything in their life. And I don't mean necessarily, like, write a song or a book or a poem. I mean, like, they don't even have an original thought. You know what I mean? Like, even their opinions are swayed by, like, the news they read or, like, the people they follow on Twitter or, you know. Culture is an IQ test, and if you participate in all of it, you fail.
Yeah. Man, I noticed that happening, and I try to keep it as real as possible here. It's so easy. Like, when you're talking about it that way, and I 100% agree with you, it's just like, you know, there are times when I try to listen to political podcasts or even other shows that aren't so political, and you can almost pin down what they were listening to before they hit that little red button and they hit record, because what they're sharing and their thoughts is, it's not an original idea. They heard it from somewhere else, and, like, they're just regurgitating what they heard. And, I mean, you can almost hear it's not genuine. They don't mean it. Like, it's just, it seems to be, and I take that to the political sphere, too. Like, with, I think grifter is probably the best word. It's wherever the wind's blowing, whoever is paying the biggest dollar, that is how good I'll talk about you. And if the other side is paying that well, it's nothing for me to change sides because I don't believe in anything. I'm just following the money.
Right. And to go back to your original point with iSpice, that's how record companies are. If you're not making money and interesting, then yeah, less people are going to talk about you, and then you just fade into obscurity, and that's it. Like, you know, it's all about what you can do for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. all like very, like, all money based, and like instead of like, ooh, well, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? That's all media. That's what it is.
Oh, Josh. I had this this guy that I met at the festival that I was at over the weekend, and he had something very insightful that I had never heard before. It seemed like he had it well put together. He started out with the introduction, talking shit about the place I'm from, and particularly like in the side of town that I've spent a lot of time in when it comes to music.
Right.
And I go on to ask him, I was like, well, where are you from to where it is just so incredible? Every night there's so many live shows and you just go. And, oh, I'm from Nashville. Oh, very good. And he goes on with the spiel. You play music. I do. Are you any good? I don't know. Probably not. I just enjoy myself. Well, no, if you want to make it, all you got to do is you move to Nashville and you play an open mic, and the next thing you know, you're found. And I mean, you have the world by the tail, and the world is your oyster, and you have arrived. And like had to stop it for him. I was like, man, do you know how many people that I know who have gone and done that, ended up having to pawn all their music equipment off in that said city and had to move back home with their tail tucked between their legs because some reason they thought that's how things worked.
Right.
Like, I don't... Why would you open up a conversation that way?
Yeah, because it's already confrontational. Like, out the gate.
Yeah.
Then, like, also to be talking out of your ass. Like, yeah, all right, I'll give you a good example. I used to work at AutoZone, and sometimes, like, people would come in, and, like, I'd end up, like, working on their car just, like, out there in the parking lot. Because I always keep my tools in my truck. And fucking nothing was worse than like some old guy would walk up and go, well, that ain't how I do it. You know, it's like, well, you're not the one fucking doing it. Like, and it's the same thing with like music and stuff. Like, I hate when people that aren't doing it come up and go like, you know what you should do? Go to Austin or go to Nashville or this city or that city, and all you gotta do is play some open mics, and then boom, you'll be on a record label, and you'll be up there on the big stage. Yeah, it's like, that's not how that works. Also, you don't even do it, so what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that was always incredible, man. Like, it was one of the first times that I had played Tupelo, and the couple, you know, you look out in the crowd, and you can see who's really into it and who's not.
Right.
And there was a couple really into it. Taking a break, walked over there to them, introduced myself. And they was like, really think you ought to go up to Nashville. And I looked at him, I was like, okay, yeah. After I do that, what would I do next? Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, but that's step one, right? No, I'm doing, like, I'm at step six.
Right.
Yes. That's wild to me, man. That's bad advice. Like, I don't even think American Idol teaches that. I don't know where that comes from.
Well, I feel like probably way back in the day, like, that's what you did. Like, if you were a Jimmy Rogers, you know, like you're in Columbus, Mississippi, and you're like, oh, well, I can sing good. I better go to where they record the records. And so Jimmy Rogers goes up and he goes to Nashville and like, yeah, back in the day, that's how you did it. But now, you know, like I can make a record in my bedroom. I have. Like, you know, so that's the beauty of now, you know.
Yeah. And it went on, back to the festival just for a second, went on to explain to the guy, and I brought up, I'm not going to bring up the band now. You probably know, they were just nominated for a CMA. You want to know how they were found? They're from Alabama. It's not a mystery. The frontman's brother studies videography. He's incredibly good at it. He's also a musician, and he knows what to film, and he knows what's interesting to film when making a music video. During COVID, when they were quote-unquote found, it was because of TikTok, Instagram shorts, or reels, and YouTube reels. The next thing you know, they have a couple of songs in popular movies, and the rest is history. Did they put in the work? Had they been playing for years? Absolutely they had. But their fucking strategy was not, let's go fucking abandon everything we've been doing and move to fucking Nashville. That wasn't it.
Right.
They play in Nashville. I mean, obviously they play in Nashville. They got a record deal with RCA. They're doing fine.
Right.
But like these conventional stories that people tell about moving to Nashville is a bit ridiculous. Like if you write good songs, if your content is good, and if you make compelling videos on social media that people share with their friends, that's probably what you need to do if you want to, quote unquote, make it. But then again, making it is one thing to another. Your idea of making it is I just want to be able to feed my family and pay the bills and maybe play the local bar scene here in my hometown. Or it could be, I just play house shows. I just like doing this on the weekend. That's another thing. Before telling somebody to go to fucking Nashville, why don't you see what they want out of the music?
Right.
Maybe they don't give a fuck.
No, I mean, that's like my thing is like, I don't want to be a fucking household name. Like, I don't want to fucking, like truthfully, like, I want to still work my job and, you know, every once in a while play a show. And truthfully, that's what I'm doing. And I'm happy doing that.
Amen.
You know, people are like, well, what about hookers and cocaine and, you know, private jets and, you know, playing in Antarctica and opening for Metallica? And I'm like, look, buddy, like, that'd be cool, but it's not me, you know?
Yeah, we have dedicated ourselves to way higher. The next time that Talladega opened up its track for donation, I want to rent us a ridiculous vehicle to take a lap in, Josh. That's the kind of things that we're into.
Right. That's right up my alley. Like, that's the thing. Is like, people are always like, oh, well, money, that, you know, fixes stuff. And it's like, no. Like, I have, you know, $300 in my bank account and I'm bored. Like, I can do whatever I want, you know. But it's like, it's, I don't know. It's the little things in life that make it worth living.
That's right. The ridiculous things. I mean, I wore a taco suit, rode down a hill on a scooter with the American flag across my back. People can do anything. These things are
right.
Possible. The little things.
And that's what makes life worth it, man. It's the taco suits and the broken scooters.
Hey, man.
The broken bones.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Anything else that you would like to plug or bring up before we walk this one out of the door? I didn't want to bum people out who wanted to tell other people to go to Nashville. I'm sorry about that. Not really. Stop doing that.
Stop telling people to go to fucking Nashville. And stop telling people to go to fucking Austin. Austin's a shithole.
Oh, one more thing. If you're coming from Nashville to play my town, You don't have to tell me that you're from Nashville more than three times. Look, I personally don't give a fuck where you're from. It's all the same to me.
My favorite thing here is fucking like, well, I used to live in Nashville, and it's like, oh, so you couldn't cut it there, so you're going to come bug the shit out of us here in Birmingham. Thanks.
Yep, there we go. Anything else, brother?
Yes, please come see me September 21st, which is not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
And it's not in Nashville. It's in
LCY Media.
And it's not in Nashville. It's in Birmingham. LCY Media.
LCY Media. We got Gatsby, Mel Crosby, Erica Adeponte, Playboy G, and Sunshine the Poet. It's going to be a hell of a show. I hope to see all y'all there. It's $10, and every bit of the money we make is going to the homeless shelter, Wonder Birmingham. So please come out and support.
Roll Tide. Josh, thank you so much.
Love y'all. Good night.
Nothing to gain, nothing to lose. Barely buying my way, selling my time. Making a wage, waiting to die.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy.
So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.